Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Trinity Baptist Temple Church Sermons Podcast. At Trinity, we're not just a building. We're a church that teaches the truth, provides fun and safe ministries for our kids and youth, develops relationships by connecting in weekly small groups, hosts loving community events, and more. We love sincerely, connect deeply, and reach sacrificially. Today's sermon will be led by our youth pastor, Jeffrey Holt.
Amen. Well, good morning. Thank you for being in your place this morning. Have your Bibles, you can turn to Daniel chapter 1 again. We're going to be back there. And as you were singing a song earlier, there was a line in there that said, "My sin is heavy." My sin was heavy. And I was thinking about that, thinking about what Jesus must have felt, who knew no sin, and then my sin was placed upon him. I can only imagine how heavy that felt for him. And not only my sin, but the sins of the world were placed on Jesus. I remember when I was 16 years old and someone preached the gospel to me, and at that moment I realized I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and how heavy that felt for me, how heavy that sin was upon me. And then once I gave my life to Christ that night, how that sin had, that weight had been lifted off. And I can only imagine. I can't imagine, I don't think fully, I never will be able to comprehend all that he endured, all that he went through. But I'm so thankful and grateful that he did, that he made a way of salvation for us. It was probably 12, 13 years ago now. I was sitting in my office and a young man came in there, and he was a young man that we were trying to get him back to the place where he needed to be academically, and he was really struggling. But that morning we had preached the gospel, and he came to my office, and he was trying to articulate to me that he needed Jesus as his Savior, but he just really struggled. There was a bit of a language barrier and a bit of a learning barrier, and he's like, but I need this. There's this weight on me. But he didn't have the words to say. He kept just making these motions that there was this weight upon him, and once we finally got to the point where he's like, "All right, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ." Once that was over, again, he didn't even have the words to say. He just was making this motion that weight had been taken off of him. And man, what a glorious day it was for that young man. What a glorious day it was for me when I was 16 years old. And what a glorious day it is when you give your life to Jesus Christ and that weight that was upon us has now been lifted off. It is absolutely amazing. And so this morning, I want to dive back into this, but I do want to pray first. I want to pray and ask God to prepare our hearts for what it is he has for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, we are thankful and grateful for this morning. Thankful for a great song service this morning, Lord. Just every note that was strummed, every song, every lyric that was sang, and we get to pour it out to you, God, and you deserve it. You deserve our praise. You deserve our worship. And God, as we heard the verse this morning, we were able to make a joyful noise unto the Lord this morning. And I pray that we wouldn't stop. I pray that as we sing here in a moment together at the end of service, that we would make another joyful noise throughout the day. We would continue to make these joyful noises unto you and pour out our thanksgiving and our offering of song, if you will, to you, God. I thank you for the opportunity to praise you, to worship you this morning, to set aside some time to focus on you, our King, our Lord, and our Savior. And God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for so many in this room who've given their life to you. And God, I do pray if there's someone here today who has not truly realized that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. God, prepare our hearts now as we open this up, as we jump into your word. I pray that you would give us the things we need. We love you, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have to comment real quickly. Me and Brother Tony seem to dress alike a lot, and I don't know how we did it again this morning. We were wearing the same exact outfit again. We did not coordinate. We did not plan. It just happened that way. And I know we try to match a little bit here and there. And so, but it is comical now when we walk in and we see each other. And so, but the past few weeks, we've been walking through Daniel chapter 1, and we've seen this idea of remaining steadfast, of staying the course, of being separate, being holy, being set apart. That's the idea. As we live in this world, we are to be separate from it. And there is one concept that I think we're going to catch right here at the end of Daniel chapter 1 that I think we need to add to what we've been talking about the past couple of weeks, and that is the idea of remaining or staying or staying consistently faithful. There is an aspect of being set apart that isn't just momentary. It's not just for a minute. It's not just for a second here and a second over there. No, it is a consistent thing that we should strive to remain faithful to God and to His kingdom and to His works. When we are faithful, when we are choosing to stay the course and remain faithful, that we are living lives that are purposefully different than Babylon, if you will, as we've been calling it, the world. God Himself, when we choose to remain faithful, to stay faithful to His calling, to His work, God Himself chooses to set us apart for His purpose. We see it over and over again where people have remained faithful to God and God says, I've got something else for you. I've got something different for you. I'm moving you from this ministry to this ministry. As we remain faithful, God begins to reveal purposes and places and things for people to do. God honors those who honor Him by remaining faithful, by staying faithful. And we got to understand, it's not always with earthly success. Sometimes we want it that way. God, I've been serving you. I've been faithful. I've been doing this for so many years. Why am I not receiving this? Why am I not receiving this job promotion or this position or this blessing in my life? And we got to understand that it's not always in earthly success or earthly blessings that we think we need or we think we deserve, but it's always, 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 when we remain faithful, it's always with His presence. He always shows up. It's always with His favor in various ways, different ways. And we could go around the room and just give testimony after testimony of where we've remained faithful and God has poured out favor in our lives. And then most importantly, I believe He also, when we remain faithful, He pours out an eternal reward, an eternal impact. There is impact on eternity when we remain faithful. Now, I spoke about that young man who came into my office that day, and what if I hadn't have got up that morning and preached the good news of Jesus Christ to him? Well, how would that have impacted eternity for that young man? I don't know. I can't say 100%. Maybe someone else would have showed up. Maybe someone else would have preached the gospel that morning. Maybe something else would have happened. But I do know that through that faithfulness, God continues to pour out eternal impacts in my life, eternal rewards in my life and in others. And again, we as a church collectively get to experience those rewards and those favors and those blessings one day. You know, it's been a busy start of our summer here, and we've had a lot of things going back to back to back to back. And we have a couple of weeks here where there's we have a coffee outreach, I believe, this week, and a couple of other things going on, and preparing for a mission trip. But that doesn't mean we stop. That doesn't mean we quit being faithful because another event's not happening, because something else isn't happening. We must continue on remaining faithful no matter where we're at, no matter what we're going, no what's happening, whether we're on vacation, whether we're at home, whether we're at our jobs, whether we're just doing the things with the family around the house. We must remain faithful. We live in an interesting time. We live in a time where mainstream media, I believe, is being pushed out and social media is taking over. especially for young people. It is there, and that's what they run to. That's what they go to. And one of the temptations that comes with that, one of the things that comes along with this type of temptation that we're facing here because of what the culture has built, is that a lot of people want to be noticed. They want to be noticed, and they want to be noticed quickly. They see the overnight successes. They see these who've put in the work and built up their channels and their podcasts and their platforms. And unfortunately, there's times where us Christians get caught up in it, and we say, "Man, I need to chase after that. I need to chase after the followers. I need to chase after the promotions. I need to chase after the applause. I need to chase after the influence," whatever it might be. And instead of just remaining faithful, staying the course, staying where we're at, and allowing God to bless and show up and show off. And if that influence comes, if the applause comes, if the promotion comes, if the followers come, it's because God did the work and not us trying to do it on our own. Am I saying we never pursue a promotion? Am I saying we never try to give our all in an area that God's blessed us with? Because no doubt there's someone in this room who is extremely talented with social media, who knows the trends before the trends even happen, who understand what's coming and what's going, and God's going to use that and bless that if you will use it for Him. But Scripture tells us, stay faithful. I look around this room and I see people who've been here for years and years and years who've remained faithful. And it doesn't go unnoticed by God. It doesn't go unnoticed by me. It doesn't go unnoticed by the leadership here at this church. And I just want to say thank you. And if you feel like you haven't received a thank you in a while, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that, and I want to tell you this morning, thank you. Thank you for being in your place. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for remaining steadfast in the work of the Lord. I thank you for it. And I know God's going to pour out His rewards on you. God is the one who elevates. God is the one who elevates, and we need to be careful not to try to start elevating ourselves. James chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, in the presence of the Lord." Humble yourselves, therefore, in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. As we've been going through this, we've seen Daniel and his three friends who just made a decision to be separate, drew the line in the sand, as we saw last week, and said, "We're not going past this point." And they never campaigned for influence. They never went out and said, "Listen, look at us. Look at what we're doing. Look at how our ministry is thriving." They never went and did those things. They simply obeyed, humbled themselves, and obeyed, and remain faithful in it, and God did the rest. And so this morning, Daniel chapter 1, I want to read it in its entirety. We've broken it up. We've taken pieces and parts of it, and we're about up to chapter verse 16, but I want to read it in its entirety so we have the whole context, and then we'll kind of break down the last few verses here. And so Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and he besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them into the land of Shinar, to the house of God, and brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of the officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youth in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch and wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, who had the ability for serving in the king's court, and he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. Then the king appointed to them daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter into the king's personal service. Now among them were the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the commander of the officials assigned them new names to Daniel, Belteshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel made up in his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with what the king had drank. And so he sought permission from the commander and the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the Lord and the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of the Lord, my king, who hath appointed you food and you drink and your drink. For why should he see your faces like looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables and to eat and water to drink. And let our appearance be observed in the presence of the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food. And then deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter, and he tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold the choice food and the wine and that they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. Verse 17, "As for these four youths, God gave them intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom, and Daniel even understanding all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days which the king had specified, presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, the conjurers, who were all in his realm." And Daniel continued into the first year of Cyrus the king. And so this morning, I have 4 points. I told y'all last week I had 1 point, and I told you I wasn't going to go long. And, well, we went longer than I have in several weeks. But I think this morning we'll make it through them quickly. But point number one this morning, God distinguishes those who remain faithful. God distinguishes. God sets apart. God uses. Whatever word you want to implement there, whatever synonym you want to use for distinguishes, God is the one who is going to do the work when we remain faithful. Those who remain faithful, God is going to show up and say, I have something for you. There is something that comes along with faithfulness, and it leads to more responsibility, yes, but it also leads to God doing greater things in our lives. There is a direct correlation between faith, our faithfulness, and not who we are, not who we've tried to build ourselves up to be. Again, verse 17, "As for these four youths," listen to these words, "God gave them knowledge and intelligence." God did that. God showed up. God saw their faithfulness, saw them drawing the line in the sand, saw them saying, "We're not going to do this." And God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. And even Daniel understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Listen, the subject here, the thing that's going on in this particular verse, it's not Daniel, it's not Hananiah, it's not Mishael, it's not Azariah, it's not Babylon, it's God. God showed up and says, "I am going to reward your faithfulness. I am going to bring this to you. Everything we have, everything we do, every ability, every talent, every word, every sense, every fiber of our being, every breath, everything we have begins with God, and we must remember that. It's not our job. It wasn't Daniel's job. It wasn't Hananiah. It wasn't their job to build themselves up and lift themselves up in front of the king. It was their job to humble themselves and let God give them the increase. Let God show up and say, listen, I am going to bless. I'm going to give you favor and wisdom and knowledge and all of these things above everyone else. God showed up because of their faithfulness and God gave. It all begins with God. And the moment we forget that, the moment we become prideful, the moment we become selfish and we say, well, look at what I've done. Look at me. Look at the abilities and talents that I possess. And we're in a world of hurt. We must repent. God gave. Everything begins with God. Again, the world often rewards talent, but God rewards faithfulness. God rewards faithfulness. These young men had already determined they were going to obey before they ever received a blessing. You remember the mess that they're in. We just read it. They were taken from their home. They were brought into captivity. They were put in this place. And yes, they were given a few things, but it wasn't by choice. They were captives. Before the blessing ever came, they obeyed. God's gifts came after their commitment. They committed to God, and God says, listen, I'm going to pour out. I am going to pour out because of your faithfulness. I'm going to pour out this favor because you have remained committed to me. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 29, it says, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. I don't remember if it was last week or the week before I was talking about us having opportunities to teach the young people that are here in this room and really pour into them and explain to them, listen, you might not have the best boss when you get a job. You might not have an upright, just person who is trying to do things God's way, do things God's way. Maybe a supervisor that's telling you to cut corners to do things like this. But again, the Bible, I think, gives us something much different, much clearer, and that's to remain faithful to Him, remain faithful to His Word, remain faithful to His ways, and again, draw that line in the sand and say, I'm not going to compromise in this area. I know there's been things in the news recently about Dr. Tony Evans, but we went through a series long ago called Kingdom Men or something like that. And in that series, he was talking about his job, a job he had when he was a young person. He was talking about how he worked the night shift, I believe, at a place where they moved buses or transported buses around. And while he was there, the guys had come up with a scheme. They had schemed because it was night. It was night shift, and there weren't as many managers around, weren't as many supervisors. They realized they could take advantage of the system. And so they started clocking out for lunch. And then one of their buddies would clock them back in, but they would stay out sleeping somewhere. They would just sleep through the rest of their shift. And so they took turns doing this. Anyway, when they came around to Dr. Tony Evans, just Tony at that time, they said, hey, it's your turn. And he says, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And he faced the ridicule. He faced the persecution. He faced the things he was going to do. He's going to face from his coworkers. But this excellency that he had shown in the sight of his bosses, this excellency that he had shown in the sight of God, this decision to remain faithful, this decision to not compromise, God showed up. God gave. God gave him the promotion. God showed up and it was seen in the sight of his bosses. He had some good bosses who understood it. And they gave him the promotion. They put him as supervisor over all those guys who had so many problems with him before. Listen, do you see a skilled man in his work? Young people, listen, you're going to get in a position sometime where you're going to be in a job and you have to make the decision. I'm going to do what's upright. I'm going to do what's just. I'm going to remain faithful, even if no one else is around me. And here's the deal. If that boss refuses to see that and he's a bad boss, he's not a good boss, then it's your choice to move on to somewhere else. It's your choice to go somewhere else. Or maybe to stay and continue to try to witness to him. I don't know. A skilled man in his work will stand before a king, not because he promoted himself, but because of excellence that he worked. It became visible, and then he stood before the king. That's what we see with these young men. It's what we see with other examples in Scripture. Many of us have experienced in our life in different ways. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, it says, "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" I want you to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, "Well done, successful servant." No, Jesus says the story, and he's giving the story, and it's a beautiful picture of what's to come. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The idea this morning is to remain faithful. God measures things different than the world measures. God measures things different than the world measures, and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." A few weeks ago, I believe, maybe in youth, I used the illustration of a lighthouse, and the lighthouse is there, and yes, it's shining in the light, and it's doing all of those things, but here's the other thing that the lighthouse is doing. It's simply standing. It's remaining faithful. It's standing where it was built. Yes, it shines brightly, but it is faithfully shining brightly day in, day out, right where God has placed it. Faithfully shining every night, and eventually every ship that comes its way is going to see that faithfulness. It's not our job to go out and chase the influence, chase the popularity, chase the applause. It's our job to remain faithful. We are to simply shine faithfully exactly where God has placed us. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. God has chose to use us, and I don't understand it. I'm like, "God, why would you choose to use me? Why would you choose to allow me to utter your holy name? Why would you choose to use us, our church? Why would you choose to use us, broken sinners who are only have had the righteousness of you imputed upon us? Why would you choose to use us?" And yet he does. That's what he chose. He chose to use you and me and says, "We are the light of the world. Now stay faithful in it. Stay faithful in these things." Again, maybe you've been serving for years and there's been no applause. There's been no recognition. Maybe there's been no promotion. Maybe it's at your job. Maybe it's here at the church. I want you to remember this. God sees what others overlook. God sees what others overlook. Again, I shared it a couple weeks ago. My son got his job almost a year ago, and I said, "I don't care what the other guys are doing. You remain faithful. You remain faithful to what God has told you to do. And God will reward that. Even if you don't get that promotion at that job, God will reward it. God sees what others overlook. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good." I want to read that again. "Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." It's been a tough few months for me. Keeping things going and trying to strive after what's right. And there's been a few moments where I would say my flesh was getting the best of me. And I was ready to just say it would be easier to just go somewhere else. I believe there were a few moments where I was starting to lose heart in doing good. And I'm thankful and grateful for those who've surrounded me, who've come alongside me and said, keep going, keep pushing. Don't lose heart. I'm thankful for the gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit who works inside me and it said, listen, keep going, keep pressing, keep giving, keep sharing, keep preaching, keep teaching, keep doing these things. Don't lose heart in doing good. There are going to come those times where life gets extremely difficult and it seems like there's no way out. There's no way to move forward. Don't lose heart. Remain faithful in doing good. For in due time, I don't know what that means sometimes. And I wonder sometimes, God, what does that mean in due time? God, show it to me. Reveal it to me. Reveal it to us. Reveal it to our church. What does it mean in due time, God? But he says it, and I believe it, in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Amen. Point number two this morning, God makes the differences obvious. God makes the difference obvious. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, then at the end of the days which the king had specified, remember he told them they were going to enter into this 3-year program where they learned the language and they were taught all the ways of the Chaldeans. They were given a new literature. He says, then at the end of those days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented all of these young men before Nebuchadnezzar. We don't know how many it was, possibly hundreds of young men. We're not sure how many young men were there. But it does very clearly say more than just Daniel and the three others. He presented them before King Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spent time with them. The king talked with them. The king again went out and actually spoke with each one of these young men. The king talked with them, and out of all of them, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered into the king's personal service. Why were they different than the rest? As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them. Every matter, everything he asked them, every question he grilled them with, every test he gave them, everything he gave them, in the matter of wisdom and understanding, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, than all the conjurers, and then all the rest of those young men that he was interviewing and he was grilling, than all who were in his realm. Listen, I hope you notice, Nebuchadnezzar, he interviewed everyone. He went to every single one of these young men. He went to his most trusted men. Imagine the scene here. Imagine hundreds of young men possibly coming before this king. And the best that Babylon had to offer, the best that they had pulled out of Israel, out of Judah. And he says, now tell me what you've learned. They had the same education. They had the same opportunities. They had the same test. And yet, verse 20, it says they were 10 times better than the rest. How is that possible? Again, I believe it's because God gave. God gave. God gave them wisdom. God gave them His ways. God gave them His laws. And they chose to remain faithful in those things. Again, I don't believe it. It means that they were 10 times naturally smarter than these other people. Again, it was the best of the best. It was all the people with the 4.0 average, if you will. It was the best of the best. It means God's blessing, God's favor, and God giving to them was unmistakable in their lives. I'll say this, talking about jobs and different things and talking to young people again this morning, addressing them and future jobs and things to come. Listen, God's not always going to remove the people around us that we think need to be removed. God's not always going to remove the competition, if you will. Sometimes He lets us stand right in the middle of it and let His work be obviously seen amongst the crowd, amongst the people, amongst the leadership or the bosses. Psalm chapter 75 and verse 6, it says, For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. But God is judge, and he puts down one, and he exalts the other. God alone has that power. God alone had the power to exalt and lift up Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and make them 10 times better, 10 times more wisdom, 10 times more understanding than the rest. It was God who did that. It was God who poured it out. God is the judge. God puts down and God exalts. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, it says, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed." That's a pretty harsh verse. Yeah, he is creator God. Remember, all things come from him. And he is the righteous judge. He is loving, and he's also a just judge. And for him to say, yes, I said this, but if you don't honor me, then I will not honor you. If you despise me, then you will be lightly esteemed. Doesn't say he's going to write them off forever. Doesn't say he's never going to give them a chance. He just says, you will be lightly esteemed. In Genesis, the whole last part of Genesis, I don't even know how many chapters are devoted to the life of Joseph. Joseph is this story, and I want you to think about him. If you remember Joseph's story, he was there, and he, right or wrong, he was favored by his father, and he was given this coat of many colors, and his brothers didn't like him, and Joseph made it a little worse and started dreaming dreams and telling his brothers about those dreams, and the brothers hated him even more. They threw him in a pit, and then they decided, you know what, that's not good enough. We need to make some money off of this. And so they sold him into slavery. And we know that Joseph went there and he tried to do things God's way. And because he was doing that, God showed up and God gave. God gave him favor in the sight of Potiphar. We know that unfortunately that ended badly because Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him and she framed him. And so he was thrown in prison. And guess what? He was forgotten in prison. He was falsely accused and forgotten in prison. None of that really looked like a blessing other than the fact that he had been promoted into Potiphar's house. Yet eventually, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, said, "Where can I find a man like this?" And he gave an explanation. He said, "Where can I find a man? Where can I find a man who can tell me what's going on in my mind? Where can I find a man with wisdom and knowledge and understanding? Where can I find a man like that?" Joseph never sought Pharaoh. God brought Pharaoh to Joseph because of Joseph's faithfulness. God gave that. God poured that out. God brought Pharaoh to Joseph. The same God who elevated Joseph is the same God who's elevating Daniel. He's the same God who's pouring out today in our lives when we remain faithful. Again, I don't like this talk. I don't like the fact that there would be some sort of stipulation. There would be something like this. But again, if God is fair, if God is right, if God is just, there needs to be this obedience of his children. Am I saying we will lose our salvation if we fall short one day? No. But what I am saying is that God rewards, God pours out favor. Is it always going to be in the way of a promotion or put into a king's house? No, I already said that in the beginning. We know that sometimes there are rewards laid up in heaven that we're never going to see this side on this side of heaven. We're never going to see them until we get there and get to that other side. So we don't have to manipulate our way forward as Christians. We don't have to compromise and lay our values and our morals aside. We don't have to become like Babylon to reach Babylon. I said last week at the end of my sermon that there is an immense amount of pressure on churches and pastors to be more worldly, to do things to soften the message, to change our tune so that we might reach more people. And that is not the case. We don't have to become like Babylon to reach Babylon. How do I know that? Because people are still coming. People are still getting saved. People are still visiting the church. People are still joining the church. We don't have to become like Babylon to reach Babylon. And I know because God's word says it. We are not to compromise. We are not to be conformed to the image of this world. Listen, God is able to show up and bless and take these situations that we remain faithful in and put us exactly where He wants us. He took Joseph and put him exactly where he wanted. He took Daniel and he put him exactly where he wanted. Even when it seemed like there were no blessings to be found, God showed up and God gave, and he put them exactly where they needed to be. Point number three this morning, God sets apart those who can be trusted. I think if you talk to any leader and you say, what are you looking for most? I believe number one on their list, if not one, number one on the list is going to be probably tied with number one on their list is faithfulness. I want someone who's going to be there on time all the time. Faithfulness. And God sets apart those who can be trusted. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 21, again, for every matter of wisdom and understanding which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in his realm. Do you know something? Daniel, I don't you know something. God did not bless Daniel just because he was Daniel. He took him, and because of his faithfulness, he placed him into a position of influence. He promoted him. God did that. God blessed. God gave. God gave him the increase. He promoted. And all the time when we see promotion in a position, promotion in Scripture, it is related or connected to more responsibility. That's just kind of natural, even in the world that we live in. If we are in a job and we get promoted, there's more responsibility and more responsibility. And then every once in a while we start complaining because we've been given more responsibility because we haven't been given more pay. You know how it goes. We've experienced it. And God says, well, you've been faithful and now I'm giving you this. And this should be an area that we never complain about. That God would promote us because of our faithfulness. God giving us something because of our faithfulness. God pouring out something or pouring out more, pouring out things in our lives that maybe we don't quite understand while we're going through. Again, someone shared it with me last night and they're like, listen, God hasn't given you more than you can handle. He gives us these promotions. He gives us these things. He gives us these things. And then in the promotion comes influence, comes leadership opportunities. Greater opportunity for stewardship to remain faithful. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10 said, he who is faithful in the very little things is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in the very little thing is unrighteous also in much. I believe God often asks us, can I trust you with the little thing? Can I trust you with this little thing? Before he trusts us with the big thing. And I want to encourage you, no matter where you're at, no matter where you're at in your spiritual walk, your spiritual journey, stay faithful in whatever it is that he's given you. If it's just your family right now and that's your ministry and that's what he's given you, stay faithful in that. Keep preaching, keep teaching, keep sharing, keep praying, keep giving to your family. If it's something at your job that you're ministering to people there at your work, keep doing it. Keep being faithful. And if it's a place here in the church, or maybe I call people out. But if it's Sister Janie just back there handing out papers, I don't take that lightly. Keep handing out those papers. Keep staying back there. Keep staying faithful. He's trusted you with it. We read about a little boy who was out in a field tending his sheep. We also read about at the same time a prophet who came to anoint a new king. And we know this person that what I'm talking about here is David. David was going to be that next king, but nobody else saw it except for God. God saw it. God was preparing. There was no audience out in that field. There was no applause. There was no crown. But while everyone else overlooked David, and Samuel went through all the sons of Jesse and was like, nope, next one, next one, next one. None of these are it. Do you have any other sons? God was preparing a king out in that field. The pasture became his preparation. It became his place. And once he was prepared in that pasture, then God placed him in the palace. And I am not, again, trying to place some sort of false imagery here, some sort of prosperity type preaching that if you remain faithful, God's going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. That is false. That is wrong. We cannot preach that. We cannot teach that. But I do know that God pours out blessing and God pours out favor. We see it over and over again in His Scripture. It might not always be the way that we deem it or we expect it. Listen, don't despise the small assignments that God gives you. Whether it be here in this church, whether it be at your home, whether it be at your job, at your school, wherever it might be. Don't despise the small assignments that God's given you. Maybe it's just one person that He's calling you to reach right now. One person He's calling you to pray with this morning. One person He's calling you to disciple. I believe that God often prepares us and builds us and brings us to that place of greater responsibility just in the ordinary moments of faithfulness. Point number four this morning, God's purpose outlasts moments or outlasts temporary moments. God's purpose outlasts moments. In the last verse of chapter 1, we see this verse, and it might be real easy to skip over. It's just one little verse, a few little words. It says, and Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Again, it might be that this verse that you've read over and over again, but you've never really thought about it as you've read through the stories of Daniel, as you heard him as a kid and maybe went back and read it in your Bible. Easy to skip over, yet it might be one of the greatest verses in chapter 1. So why do you say that? Why would it be one of the greatest verses in chapter 1? It just said Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Well, here's the deal. I believe what God's painting here is imagery of what's to come, but also a picture of how Daniel was going to stay faithful year after year after year after year after year. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar came and he took him out of Judah and he put him in this place and he was right. God gave him the promotion and put him in that position, but then Nebuchadnezzar left. Nebuchadnezzar went. And we're going to see it here in a few weeks if this is the way God continues to lead. It was a horrible downfall of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar came. Nebuchadnezzar went. We'll see later that Belshazzar came and Belshazzar died. Empires rose, empires fell. Daniel remained, though. Daniel remained. He outlived kings. He served through changing governments, political shifts, national crises, generational changes, and Daniel stayed faithful. So I don't know how many of you were thinking about things that have gone on in your life since you've been a Christian. But how many people have came and gone? How many people have rise and fallen? How many different government or political systems have been in place and have been put out? How many national crises have happened? How many generational shifts? And man, we live in a culture today. I mess with these teenagers. I'm like, I don't know how y'all even keep up with the trends. They come so fast and flee so quickly. I don't even understand it. Like, how do you keep up with it so quickly? There wasn't constant information quite like it is for them even when I was a young person. And so what was cool for a long time. I mean, I had the JNCOs, I had the Sutters, I had it all. Like, it was great. Big old, and now they're back. Who knew? I should have kept them. Probably made some money on those things. But think about all those things that have come and risen and fallen and gone by the wayside. And like, man, this is it. This next president, he's going to change it all. And he came and he blew it again and messed up. And yet, where have you been? How have you been faithful? How have you remained? Daniel stayed faithful. This verse here, this little verse that seems not like a big deal, it spans almost 70 years of Daniel's life. One decision not to compromise in chapter 1, I'm not going to eat of the king's meat. It affected the rest of his life. The choices we make, the decisions to remain faithful, decisions to draw the line in the sand, as we were talking about last week. Being set apart. It was not some emotional thing that Daniel and the other three guys were going through, like, hey guys, this will be cool, let's do this. No, it was the beginning of a lifetime of consistency for him and these others. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. And let us, listen to this, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. This idea of running this race, running with endurance, keep going, keep pressing, keep remaining faithful is what we're talking about here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The psalmist is talking here in Psalm 92, and I want to wrap this up this morning with this scripture. The righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of God. They will still yield fruit in their old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. The psalmist declaring how we should be and how we should remain faithful, how we should stay faithful and stay the course. Here's the deal. I don't know where you're at, and I don't know where your health is, and I don't know, but most of us in this room could probably sprint a little bit, maybe for a very short period of time. Maybe if something big and bad enough was chasing after us, we might be able to run for a minute. Amen. But not many of us in this room, a couple of us, would be able to finish a marathon. When I say us, not me, I can't finish a marathon. Maybe if I crawled, I could finish it. No, I'm probably not even that. Unfortunately, we know in this Christian life, many people start well, but far fewer finish well. One of the greatest testimonies a believer can leave isn't they were incredibly gifted. They were so talented. They were such a great orator. They were such a great Sunday school teacher. They were so good with the in the nursery. That's not it. It would be something like this, man. That faithful believer walked with Jesus for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years of their life, and they remained faithful until the end. So I went and visited Gene and Jan Hillen a few weeks ago. Still members of our church, still faithfully serving and loving and giving and doing all these things. And I was sitting there visiting with them. And Miss Jan told me, she said, Brother Jeffrey, I just feel like I need to be doing something for the church. Can you give me something to do? She's in her house, not able to leave, not able to get up, not able to go anywhere. And she said, give me something to do. I want to be faithful. Man, what a testimony. Shame on me for where I fall short. Shame on us for where we fall short. That kind of faithfulness that woman showed me in her house preaches louder than 1,000 sermons. Listen, Daniel points to something greater. I talked about it last week, and I want to talk about it again. Jesus entered into a hostile world as well. He faced temptations just like you and I, and the Bible says, yet he was tempted in all points like us, yet was without sin. Jesus also refused to compromise. And he possessed wisdom. Jesus possessed wisdom beyond anyone else. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are well beyond our thoughts. People repeatedly ask Jesus, where did you get this kind of wisdom? Yet, unlike Daniel, Jesus was not promoted to some palace. He went to a cross. He went to a cross, and he was the wisest person who's ever been on this planet. He was rejected so that sinners could be accepted. He died so us rebels could become sons and daughters of God. He rose again so that us who are here in this temporary dwelling place could receive eternal life and not eternal damnation. Jesus remained perfectly set apart, and he remained faithful. And now we can be made holy through him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Listen, I know we've talked about it a lot, and we're wrapping up chapter 1 here. These four boys found themselves walking to Babylon, as I talked about last week. Standing above an entire kingdom in the end. Why? How did they get to that place? Why did they end up in that position, being over the whole kingdom? Again, it wasn't because they were the strongest. It wasn't because they were the smartest. It wasn't because they had the best opportunities. It's because they simply refused to belong to Babylon. And they remained faithful. And God did what only God can do in their lives. The world tells us, hey, blend in. But God says, be holy. The world says, hey, just compromise just a little bit in this area. If you'll just give this up and be like the world, that'll be okay. But God says, no, be faithful. The world says, make yourself known, put yourself out there and promote yourself and become prideful and selfish. But God says, we read it earlier, humble yourselves, and we'll talk about it again tonight. Humble yourselves, and I will exalt you. Do you imagine what God could do through our church if we just said, man, our church may live in Babylon. We might be in the middle of a Babylon, but we're not going to let Babylon live in this church. Remember Daniel. One decision, one meal, one act of obedience led to a lifetime of faithfulness and God pouring out influence in his life and through his life for 70 years. We need to spend our lives standing firm on the truth of God, standing firm on what he's given us, his morals, his truth, his ways. And if we stand faithfully for God, if we truly make a decision in our heart to stand faithfully for God, he knows exactly what to give us. He knows exactly how, he knows exactly when, to set us apart and to put us in a position, to put us in a place to bring him glory. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to lift our voice to you. And as I said in the beginning, we're about to do it again. And I pray that we would. I pray that we would pour out the praise and the joy and the adoration that only you alone deserve. And God, I also pray for us that we would not grow weary in well-doing, that we would remain faithful. Those of us who are in very difficult positions where it seems like no one else around us is doing the things that God has prescribed, that we would not grow weary. Those of us who are going through very difficult circumstances and situations, that we would not grow weary. God, that we would purpose in our heart, like Daniel, like these others, like again, our ultimate example, you, Christ, who came to this earth, that we would remain faithful until the very end. God, I thank you and I praise you for what you've done this morning, and I ask you to bless now during this time of invitation. Just have your will and way as we stand, as we sing, as we come to this altar, as we pray there in our seats. Just bless in a tremendous way, Lord. We love you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our podcast. If you would like to learn more about Trinity Baptist Temple or join us for our weekly services, visit our website at tbtchurch.org. You can also catch our weekly services live on Facebook and our YouTube channel. We hope to see you again very soon. Bye!